right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Got to Banner, felt it by Gamma Ray, turned into the Hulk.
He on Gamma Ray.
Reckoned the sound with the power of a bull.
He's so monster clown, who is as lovable
as ever-loving Hulk! Hulk! Hulk!
Yeah, this is Daniel from Birmingham. I just got a little message for fucking Marvel Studios. You get back to the fucking table, you go suck Edward Norton's fucking dick, and get him in that fucking movie. Oh, and by the way, for a fucking replacement, I hear fucking Shiloh LaBeouf suck my nuts, didn't do anything. I hope you get fucking vagina cancer and die.
That's an angry young man.
Yes.
I mean, Daniel, don't get me wrong. We appreciate you calling in. Of course, we encourage all of you to call in, but...
Daniel...
Yeah.
Wasn't that Mr. Garrison from South Park, Colorado?
No, I believe it was Daniel from Birmingham.
Oh. Does sound but, like Mr. Garrison.
Yeah, so...
Wow, and he is a true Vulgarian, by the way.
He is a true Vulgarian, yes.
Not that what he is saying is inaccurate or wrong, but there is a vulgar tone. Vulgar, angry tone.
To what he had to say?
Yes, yes. And not at all that we nothing about that we disagree with.
No.
In principle. I mean, we don't really think that, like, Kevin Feige should show up at Ed Norton's doorstep and drop to his knees when he comes to the door. I'm not saying that should happen. That actual thing. But the principle of the thing is perhaps maybe those Marvel people should revisit Edward Norton. But before we get into all that, we should say this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 197.
Right.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Tomb of Horrors.
It's very dun, spooky. Dun, dun. It's very, very scary.
What is Tomb of Horrors, you say? Tune into the second segment tonight and you'll find out.
You could figure it out.
I know, it's really tough.
Ah, come on. If you've ever
If you've ever played the game any time in the, 35
years.
Around?
Yeah. You can figure it out.
Yeah, it's kind of not really a thing.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
All right, back to the phone call.
Yes.
So Edward Norton is out.
That's what they say.
As the Incredible Hulk. Well, I mean, Marvel.
He's out his banner.
Marvel says it.
The Mac is still in as the Hulk.
Yeah. Exactly. that whatever rendering program they're using, still pumping strong. Marvel has said it. Norton himself has said it. Did you read Norton's reply? It
was I did not know that there was a Norton reply. Now, what I saw originally was his agent's reply,
right,
which was pretty much like, the F, we were at the negotiating table and you come out and say my client is not a team player and so on and so on and so on.
Would you like me to read Norton's reply?
I would.
I have the whole thing.
Do we, is it sort of in the same tone as Mr. Garrison's phone call?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's much more diplomatic.
Okay.
As you know, I don't like to talk much about the business of making movies because it means a lot to me to protect the audience's fullest enjoyment of the magic that films can have.
Quote.
Quote, right.
Magic.
But I am so appreciative of the outpouring of support from and of Hulk and the Avengers that I feel it would be rude not to respond. So here it goes. It seems it won't work out for me to continue playing Bruce Banner for Marvel in the Avengers.
Boo.
Exactly. I sincerely hoped it could happen and be great for everyone, but it hasn't turned out as I had hoped. I know this is disappointing to many people, and that makes me sad, but I am very sincerely grateful to Marvel for extending the offer, and even more so for giving me the chance to be part of the Hulk's long and excellent history. And I really can't thank the fans enough for how much enthusiasm you've sent my way about what Lewis and I tried to do in our turn with the legend. It means a lot to me. I grew up with Banner and the Hulk, and I've been a fan of every incarnation of it. I'm really proud and very blessed to have been one of them, and will be thrilled to see him live on through other actors. Hulk is bigger than all of us. That's why we love him, right? Sincerely, Edward Norton.
Well, it is a beautifully political statement.
It is a beautifully political statement.
But really, I think the agent's statement is more accurate to what's being really felt, which is pretty much like, wow, what a dick move on Marvel Studios' part.
No excuse for Fahey's mean-spirited accusatory comments. Counter to what Kevin implies here, Edward was looking forward to the opportunity to work with Joss and the other actors in the Avengers cast, many of whom are personal friends of his. Fahey's statement is unprofessional, disingenuous, and clearly defamatory. Defamatory? Is that
yes.
the correct mm-hmm. phrase? Mr. Norton's talent, tireless worth ethic, and professional integrity deserves more respect, and so do Marvel's fans.
Wow.
So there you go. To address the other part of that phone conversation.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard anything about Shia LaBeouf being available to play Bruce Banner and
there's
the Hulk.
There's no way.
However, there is a name that has been
bandied
around. And really, unless we want the Hulk to whisper for 2 hours.
Don't make me angry.
We don't
You'll
want
like me when I'm angry.
Joaquin, I have a hair lip phoenix in that role.
Yeah, I guess the whole... He was doing like that weird rap thing, which apparently, according to rumor, was some sort of like Andy Kaufman bit,
right,
where we are meant to believe it was real, but it was actually just a big stage thing.
Yeah, because didn't he say as part of that he was giving up on acting and he was pursuing music?
Rap.
And, right? He went on Letterman and just a debacle.
It was a thing. And apparently there's some film coming out about it. About the whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which leads me to believe that maybe that's what it was.
Well, the funny part about it is no one believed him.
Yeah.
You know, the difference with Kaufman is that he had a lot of people fooled.
Yes.
People believed him and what mm-hmm. was happening. As soon as this whole Joaquin Phoenix thing happened, everybody was like, Bravo Sierra, bullshit.
And the other reaction was, who gives a shit?
That was the
go
other
ahead,
appropriate
go
reaction.
And do whatever you want. See ya. That was the other reaction.
So there it is.
And yeah, and that name I have heard bandied about. I can almost, you can almost kind of see a clean shaven, because we haven't seen that in a while, Joaquin Phoenix really kind of getting like that that shaky, angry.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. I really have trouble seeing anybody other than Ed Norton, but I guess we're going to have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I didn't really like Banner. So
I think Eric Banner was fine.
Perfect. I think Norton was perfect.
I think Banner was fine for that film, but I don't think he would work with the group.
Oh no,
that's currently going on.
I don't believe so. All right, let's move on. Darth Vader banned from Celebration.
What?
Have you heard this? David Prowse has finally burned his last bridges with Lucasfilm and is banned from Celebration and any other Lucas-sponsored convention or event.
Wow, why?
Because he's been going on and on for years, bitching about Lucas and what happened in the movie. You know, allegedly, that when he was first cast, he was led to believe that he was Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Voice and all.
Right.
And then, obviously, as we all know, he was dubbed over again by James Earl Jones. And then, finally, when they did unmask Vader, it still wasn't David Prowse. It was Sebastian Shaw.
Shaw, yes.
So, Prowse has been going on and on for years, bitching about it, complaining about it. He signs, like, his autographs, the real Darth Vader and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And apparently, Lucas has banned him from Celebration and other Lucas-sponsored events.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's kind of sad.
That is a little sad. A little bit.
Well, you know, it's like you don't. What's that song? You don't mess around with Jim. You don't walk on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Lucas.
Apparently, you don't mess around with Lucas is definitely the truest of that.
You can't keep spitting in the man's face and then being like. Not like surprised if he comes back and he's like, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna take the rug right out from under you.
Oh yeah, go fuck yourself. I like them apples. Dummy.
That was just a dummy move because, you know, he still does all, he you know, his convention schedule I'm sure is very packed and I'm sure he's making money.
Oh sure.
Sure, he was just the guy in the suit, but who gives a shit? He always loved got people
him.
Yeah,
people loved him. Didn't matter. Look at Jeremy Bullock.
Right.
The guy in the suit.
And you know, Lucas-sponsored conventions are many, sir.
I know.
Like, San Diego Comic-Con would be one.
Yeah, I think... I don't know if he's been banned from San Diego.
Well, that's interesting
think that
because
it is.
Lucas has a big, giant hand in there.
Yeah, he might be. I don't know. I didn't read San Diego. I definitely read... The wording I read was Celebration and other Lucas-sponsored events.
Right.
So I don't know if that's one where Lucas has majority share... If it's Star Wars themed only,
if Lucas gave a nickel for that con to happen, they can't have David Prowse there. That's what it is.
I guess, but so,
oh, ergo, we'll see. I say San Diego's on the table, sir.
I don't know. Does Prowse normally show up at San Diego though?
I don't know.
San Diego's a little bit,
but I don't
a little
think
bit
he will
bigger
anymore.
Than him.
I don't think he will be anymore.
I mean, not to knock him, but San Diego, but typically speaking...
They have everybody from Star Wars. They have the guy who played Greedo.
Oh, yeah, they do. They have they have like one or two random tables.
Didn't I get like one of the...
Who was there last year? Mahdi?
Yeah.
Or Piet? Or one of them was there last year?
And I got the lead puppeteer from Jabba.
Yeah.
Signed a Jabba toy for me, I think, once. I mean, they have really... They had like the woman who was... Aura Singh,
right.
Who wasn't even really a character, like, you know, in the movie. Like, I mean, they get everybody there. So somebody like Prowse would at least have position above some
clout.
Of those people. Yes, exactly.
All right. Moving along. The Guild, Season 4, Episode 1, went online this week.
Uh-huh. Didn't see it.
It was really good.
Yeah?
You should watch it.
I maybe should. I don't know. I have this weird sort of Alicia Day thing.
I know. That's why you should watch it.
Speaking of which, I've seen her eyes.
I have seen her eyes. I saw them in the most recent episode.
It's like the first time you saw a double rainbow on YouTube.
What does it mean? Anyway. For those of you.
Just saying.
They're available on MSN Video.
Right.
Now. Eventually they make it over to Watch the Guild and iTunes, I think is how it goes.
Uh-huh.
But MSN Video first.
And then eventually to DVD.
And then eventually to DVD. Every Tuesday, the new episodes go up. Episode 1 just went up this past week. This is season 4. We do anticipate the full return of Will Wheaton in this season.
I heard that.
And, certainly the first episode indicates.
I also hear he will be back on Big Bang Theory.
Yes, I heard that as well.
So.
I heard that as well. Jim Parsons nominated for an Emmy. Maybe he'll win this year.
I haven't heard. Whether Mayim Bialik is going to be back or not.
No, you know, I don't know. The season kind of went out. Quietly.
It was much shorter an appearance.
Her
than
appearance
I thought.
Was like teeny tiny. It was like 10 seconds.
But it really was a nice setup. So
absolutely.
I figure they got to follow up with her at least one episode in the next season.
I think so. I think we're going to see her at least once. But anyway, Guild is now online.
Dr. Bialik.
Dr. Bialik. Hmm. Blossom. Will Wheaton is going to be in it. Check out MSN videos each and every Tuesday for the new episodes.
Yep.
X-Men First Class.
Woohoo!
We have some casting this
James
past
McAvoy?
Week. No, not James McAvoy.
Fired?
We heard we have a Beast, a Banshee, and a Cyclops.
Interesting. First Class, this is?
First Class.
Uh-huh.
Cyclops apparently has been cast or is going to be portrayed by Aaron Johnson. Do you know who Aaron Johnson is?
No.
You do. You just don't know that you do. Aaron Johnson would also be known as AKA Kick-Ass.
Oh, that kid.
Yes.
That's a nice selection.
I got to be honest with you. I think it's a good selection. If that's the case, not a bad choice.
Ruins the Wolverine continuity.
Ruins the Wolverine continuity.
But, you know, that was kind of already ruined, so.
All right. Beast. This is going to. No, does this ruin the X-Men continuity if you put Beast in there?
No, because remember, in X3, Beast, they laid it out that Beast had been part of the group, but then left to do government work. They fully laid that out, that they clearly had a relationship
with him
beforehand.
So this is early enough to the point where he's not Kelsey Grammer.
Right.
Okay. Nicholas Holt has been cast in the role of Beast.
Okay.
Do you ever see the TV show Skins?
No.
He was on that. He was in Clash of the Titans.
No one cares.
He was in... He's going to be in Mad Max Fury Road.
Really?
He is.
If it gets made.
What else was... He was in About a Boy.
Fury Road.
I don't know. He's been in a couple of things.
Okay, you great.
And Caleb Landry has been cast as Banshee.
Caleb Landry. That sounds a very... Irish sort of name.
I don't know what you would know him from. He was on a couple episodes of Friday Night Lights, The Long Shots. He was in No Country for Old Men as a random boy on the bike extra.
Random boy.
So yeah, exactly. So I mean, he's not terribly known, but
right.
But you know, Banshee. I like the addition of Banshee into the casting.
Isn't McAvoy playing Professor X in that flick?
Yes, I believe that.
Do you know that. Again? The rumor flared up that McAvoy is going to be Bilbo Baggins.
Well, I think that's us. I think that's all us.
No, sir.
We accept full responsibility for it.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, you heard it here first, live on this show.
Fifth or second or whatever it is. No, and you know what? Now I heard other, did you hear other Hobbit things?
I heard Peter Jackson is all but signed again?
All but signed. Yeah,
except
that's what
that
I heard.
The MGM problem still isn't worked out.
Ah.
But I hear that Warner is...
And New Line.
And New Line are... They're not trying to buy him out, but they're trying to help fund it so that it gets back on schedule. And they're talking about 2012 and 2013 again.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe... You know what I think, honestly?
Warner and New Line would be smart to dump every nickel into getting these movies out.
What I think is that they heard... through the grapevine, that Ian McKellen was like, see you when I see you. And they were like, look, we got to just fix this shit and get it happening. Because you can't do that movie without Ian McKellen. If he leaves, I think that's a death. I think it's over. I think that you might as well just close the book and move on with your life.
Unless Michael Gambon is
the one that's... He's not the one that died, right?
No,
he's the one that replaced him?
Well, he died.
Who's the one that died?
Well...
No, in real life.
Oh, in real life.
Who's the one that was Dumbledore in the first movie?
That was, I can't remember his name. Classical actor.
I feel terrible.
Him.
For,
he died.
He died. Gambone replaced him.
Right.
Okay. So there you go. Maybe Christopher Lee is available.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that would be awesome. They would never do that.
Never
That would
ever?
Just be, no, that would be horrendous.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's got to get off the ground. Yeah, so if that's the case, we should hear some major stuff about that in the relative soon, I would say.
Yeah, I would think that Richard Harris.
Richard Harris, yeah.
Yeah, I would think soon.
If that's the case that they're going to pony up that money, you know, and kind of MGM will pay them back out of the settlement or whoever buys them or whatever, they would need to go into filming by the end of this year.
Well,
and everything is built and everything is ready to go according to my inside sources.
If they were smart and had the ability to do so, they would finalize this deal in the next week.
Yeah.
Because they have the venue to make the proper announcement
right
in under a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Fly Peter Jackson in?
Fuck yes.
We'll see.
Why not?
Happened before.
I know. I mean, wouldn't be completely unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it for our first segment.
Wow.
I think we might as well take our first break.
All right.
And we'll be back with more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 197, Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Tomb of Horror.
Jack, you're asking about my macaroons. Yes, they were delicious.
I thought macaroons meant balls.
No, macaroons are a type of cookie.
Do you have balls?
I have Royce's.
What? Fuck you.
Good news, everyone. You're listening to Hippo Juice.
Hippo Juice.
It's Hippo Juice.
Hippo Juice was is their show. It's called Hippo Juice.
Really?
Let me see what Google says when I search hot black actresses.
It'll say, do you mean hot white actresses?
What I could call one of the most racist shows I ever heard in my life.
Hippo Juice is live on Wednesdays, 7 to 9 p.m. East at hippojuice.com.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 197, Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Tomb of Horror. We're going to just move right forward.
You know it's horrors, because there's more than one horror
it's
in the
multiple
tomb.
Horror.
Horrors.
Horrors.
Yes.
Horrors in.
No, it's horrors.
Geek stuff. DVD news.
DVDs.
All right. Not a lot. The Bounty Hunter. Gerard Butler and Jennifer Aniston out this week on DVD. Exactly. Psych, the complete fourth season, out on DVD this week. Awesome show. Speaking of which, Psych, starting back up this week on USA. If you guys don't watch that, it's a show you really should watch. The pop culture references abound, are awesome. There's some great toy references, some great comic book references, awesome movie references, really funny show. Panel last year at San Diego was packed. It was a great audience, and
should,
I hear it's going to be good this year.
You should maybe get a job for PR in that show. Cause...
It's a good show.
Okay.
White Collar, Season 1, another USA original show out on DVD this week. The Superhero Squad Show, Volume 1 from Marvel, out on DVD this week. Out on Blu-ray this week, In Bruges.
That only came out now on Blu-ray?
Yeah. If you haven't seen that movie, you need to go see that movie as soon as you're done listening to this episode.
That movie's pretty damn good.
That movie is amazing. I mean, it's Ralph Fiennes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mad-Eye Moody. Colin Farrell. Mad-Eye Moody. What's his name? Gleason.
Gleason. Brendan Gleason.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a great, quirky, dark...
Yes.
Comedy, drama, action movie.
Yeah, weird.
You just need to see it. It's an
awesome
film.
Also some kind of Oscar things going on with that flick, too. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, again. I don't know. Did the movie get nominated?
Golden Globes.
Did someone get nominated?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a whole bunch of
things. That's it. It really wasn't a huge week, so, you know.
Hmm.
There it is.
I didn't get anything this week. I don't know. In Bruges came out, though. I would have picked that up.
Yeah.
In Bruges.
I think I have that on the regular DVD, so I don't need it on the Blu-ray.
Blu-ray's better.
I don't need to replace that one.
Really? But you love it so much. Why wouldn't you replace it?
Because I don't know how much more the Blu-ray is going to bring to the table. I'm just saying.
Where's your criteria, sir?
My criteria is different than yours.
Well, what's your criteria?
It's not special effects heavy or sound heavy, really. Certainly, it's a quality film, but with the upscaling of the Blu-ray player, the regular DVD is fine. It's not like I don't think I'm going to get that much more out of the sound and picture quality of a Blu-ray version of the film. If I didn't have it already... I would consider it, but if I have it already, I don't feel the need to replace
Good
it.
Good point. I like your criteria.
There you go.
I will have to consider those criteria.
There you go.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
So is this like 80 weeks of comics now? Is this
I thought about
like
that?
A month and a half? Or we just said, fuck it,
yeah.
This week only.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I was like, what are we going to do? We're going to do 25 minutes of comics?
No, we were like, those fuckers can read on their own
for
a couple
weeks.
That's
what I'm saying.
All right. So what came out?
Literally, I got only four titles to recommend this week.
Okay.
Of course, if you have titles that you'd like to recommend, you can always go over to our hotline.
425-920-6050.
Just like Mr. Garrison at the top of the show, and give us some recommendations and tell us why you like the book or books. And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And then if any of these books give you vaginal cancer, we want to know that as well.
Exactly. I'd really like to know that. And how the book got there to begin with. And if you have a vagina, that would really be... I'd really like to hear from you if that were the case. Okay, couple to recommend. Green Hornet Year One from Dynamite. This is issue 4. It's a terrific... it's a terrific sort of retro... Not retro isn't that the right word. Sort of a year one story. What can you say? So that's happening. That's part of Dynamite's. We can put out a dozen books with Green Hornet in the title or Green Hornet related all at one time.
Well,
they're up to like 9.
You know, I was thinking about this when I saw the list of books that came out this week.
Right.
And I think their marketing strategy is on par. Because right now, there's a fervor for Green Hornet. Everybody's excited.
Right until
the
that
movie
comes
is coming out.
Out.
And if that movie bombs,
Well, the trailer bombed.
I didn't hate the trailer.
Ugh.
But that being said, if the movie does bomb, none of these books will have legs past that movie. So capitalize on it now, and then in the future, you bow out gracefully.
You want to watch a good Green Hornet movie? Go rent The Tuxedo with Jackie Chan and just pretend that, what's his name, Lucius Malfoy is in it. Just pretend that his character is actually the Green Hornet, but you never actually see him as the Hornet. And
right.
Jackie Chan will, after this movie, become Kato.
Kato?
That's the best Green Hornet movie that there is.
Okay.
And this movie is going to blow monkeys.
Wow.
Let's go through. Can we go through these really quick? Just
Yeah. Go.
All right. So we have Green Hornet. It's written by Kevin Smith.
Right.
We have Green Hornet Year One.
Right.
We have Green Hornet Strikes.
Okay.
We have Green Hornet Golden Age Remastered.
Okay.
Which is, I think, them reprinting some old Green Hornet comics from I'm not sure where. I don't think it's the now stuff. I think it's really old stuff, like from the 60s, I think. You have Kato.
Yes.
You have Kato Origins.
Correct.
But I think I'm missing one. I don't know. But that's 6.
Yeah. No, there's another one out there.
There's
I just
another
don't remember
one.
What it
I don't... Oh, Green Hornet Parallel Lives, 7.
There you go.
And I'm
What's
not sure.
What's the Kevin Smith one?
That's just Green Hornet. It's Kevin Smith's Green Hornet.
Yeah. Is that different than Green Hornet?
That's the Green Hornet book. That's
okay. I just wanted to make sure.
The one that only has the title of Green Hornet is technically Kevin Smith's Green Hornet.
Just making
that's
sure.
It. So there's at least 7 titles. I might be not remembering one or two of them, or there may be more on the horizon. I'm sure there's a movie adaptation. I don't think Parallel Lives is it. So yeah. So if you're a Green Hornet fan, comic wise, you're in a golden era. I also picked up from DC Batman 701.
Ooh, fancy.
Grant Morrison, Tony Daniel handling the writing and art respectfully on this book. Yeah, this continues the terrific. I mean, Batman has been really amazing, all things considered, death and death of Bruce Wayne and return of Bruce Wayne and all that rigmarole.
Right.
All things considered, Batman's still one of my favorite books. So,
okay.
2 from Marvel, Daredevil 508. I think continues the Shadowland storyline, which, to be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure what it's all about. I know it has something to do with Daredevil and demons and taking over something. What bothers me most about this Daredevil issue is. It's Daredevil standing over the totally beat up body of Bullseye. This is almost an exact pull of a cover from the 80s.
Yeah, it looks very familiar.
I think it's number 200.
Okay.
Daredevil 200. You might check on that, OG, while I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I got it.
These books. I think it's Daredevil 200, but I'm not sure. It's almost an exact copy of that cover, and I wish I could remember that artist. He's the nicest guy in the world. Actually did a sketch for me of the same sort of thing from that cover, the same sort of positioning from that cover, but I can't for the life of me, I can't remember his name. Rick Leonardi, I think it was.
I don't think it's 200.
No?
No.
Try 100, 150, something. I know it was a pretty, I think it was a significant issue. 250 maybe? No. Could it be? Could be. No, it couldn't be in the 100s because that's too early. Try like 250 or something. Anyway, while OG looks that up, I'll go on to X-Men, a one-shot from Marvel. It's X-Men The Heroic Age, and it's a one-shot.
Let me see that cover again.
Okay, there it is.
No.
No, not quite.
No, 250 is... 250, he's kind of got like a crouched pose, but I don't think it's the one.
Not the one. Well, whatever it is, it's definitely a pull from another. Actually, I'll be honest with you. If you are listening to us on QuickTime, iTunes, on your iPad or iPhone or whatever, we have the ability and we use it to show you some of the related images of things that we're talking about. So probably right now, you should be able to see the issue in question. I really don't remember. 186? I really don't remember what issue it is, but I know that this cover is like, it's basically a direct pull from that cover. It's almost like a few frames later, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the body is turned in a different way, but I think that's, that bothers me a lot about it. Anyway, X-Men One Shot. It's the Heroic Age Uncanny X-Men One Shot. I don't know if we're supposed to use this as sort of a gateway between the whatever the former age was and the new age. It's four stories or three stories, Cyclops, Beast, and Hope. And I think Hope is the little girl who's supposed to be like the Messiah, the mutant Messiah or something.
Okay.
Something. And I think these are three individual stories intended to bring us into the Heroic Age. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's important. But it looked nice. So I got it. And also Matt Fraction's writing this, who's a really nice cat. So there it is. If you know more about whatever this Heroic Age stuff is than we're letting on, go over to our hotline.
425-920-6050.
And let us know what we're missing. You know, it's really hurtful for me to have to say that because I've been reading Uncanny X-Men since, like, issue 120.
Right. So to not...
It's just to be so terrible as to not know what's going on in the universe because the books are almost unreadable is sad.
It speaks volumes.
Does indeed speak volumes.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Yay!
We only got one thing to talk about tonight, but it's a doozy.
It is a doozy.
From Gentle Giant, a limited edition of 1500 on this piece. This is the Imperial Stormtrooper limited edition deluxe statue. That is a big giant mouthful until you realize that it comes in a big giant box. And the reason is because you essentially have, what, a 12-inch figure, would you say, Hero G?
Yeah, I guess about it's about 12-inch.
Maybe a little bit more. Figure of a Stormtrooper. But when you open the box, you have a stand, you have the main body, and everything else is subject to your choosing.
Okay.
Except the head. You only got one head, but you literally have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different arms to choose from.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There's all sorts of weapons. You can have the rifle. You can have the pistol, different variations of the pistol. How you want the pistol extended. You want them standing and holding the pistol. It's all up to you, sir. And a whole bunch of other accessories as well. There's some individual. Is an individual blaster in here. There's some. I think these are like elbow joints, so you can work the shoulders in different ways. This thing is amazing. I mean, it's fully amazing. Any type of stormtrooper pose, standing stormtrooper pose that you want to create, you are definitely going to be creating it out of this box. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 individual pieces, not including the body and base, to help you customize this Stormtrooper into the exciting pose that you want him to have. This is jazzy, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty awesome piece. It's just, what are you going to do with all the extras?
I don't know. I've always wondered. I've always wondered that, because like
a box of
bits,
a display of Stormtrooper bits.
I don't know. I think for me though, I would keep this handy enough where I could rotate it out. You know, like change the pose. Oh yeah, that. But no, I mean like in the collection, like in the display.
No, I know what you mean.
Just periodically rotate the display. Just, that would be fun.
New right arm.
You know, the other shame of it is that they don't sell you like individually another base body and head, because you could easily build, what, three more out of this box,
sure,
probably, or two more at least. So, yeah, it's very exciting. Going to run you about, this one's a little pricey, sir.
Two fins?
I think it's about two fins. Yeah, yeah. Thereabouts.
Yeah, 195, I think.
Yeah, but it's worth it. I'm telling you, you don't get any better than the folks over at Gentle Giant when
they
sculpting this Star Wars statue product.
Very nice.
They'd be having problems. I'll tell you, be having problems. Sideshow, if these people decided to do action figures, because that would be like crazy.
That'd be bad.
I don't know about bad. It certainly would be interesting. But there it is, Gentle Giant, the Imperial Stormtrooper Limited Edition
deluxe
statue. Yes,
that's right.
You have a lot of Gentle Giant stuff in your collection?
My Gentle Giant collection is limited to Star Wars anime.
Oh, excuse me. Hold on one second, OG. I hate to interrupt you.
Yeah, I'm horrified.
But that is the D&D intro music.
Yes, it is.
And that means it's time for our D&D update of the week.
Okay.
And much like the title of this episode... this week we're going to be talking about the Tomb of Horrors.
Nice.
Yes. To find out information about this and other D&D products, go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Tomb of Horrors. Does it strike a chord with you, old man?
It sounds very familiar.
Okay, so
Was it an old campaign module?
It was, sir. Very good. It was indeed an old campaign style module.
Right.
Which they have now expanded into its own large hardcover book.
That's interesting.
It is, because I was very taken aback by the fact that they've taken a module. Now, they have other modules out now that are in like the standard module format.
Yeah.
You know, it's one adventure. It has all the maps and things that you need for that adventure.
How the Shaded Dragon Inn came out.
Yes, sir. Very well. Very well put. Yes, very good. this book, however,
right,
a hardcover book, it's as big as almost any of the supplement books we've talked about.
Yeah, it's a nice size.
Nice size. Gonna run you about $30, which isn't bad. No, for hardcover books, sir?
Yeah, it's true.
With tons, I mean literally tons.
It's got a lot of NPCs and whatnot in there.
Yeah, full information. Look, in the back, there's actually a removable map. You pull the map out.
I'm a sucker for maps.
I know. Double-sided map, sir. Double-sided map.
I'm a sucker for those.
That's like in the old days, that was two maps, because they didn't do double-sided in the old days.
In the old days, it was printed on the white paper with the big hex.
Yeah. Like No, they still have the squares on one side.
No, I know.
For figures, because the 4th edition D&D, which is what we're talking about here,
right,
this would be for 4th edition D&D, they rely is not the right word, they emphasize figure play,
yes,
for sort of ease of situations. We didn't really do that when we played. We paper and pencil and okay, I'm moving over here,
I'm
erase the old you.
I was represented by a quarter most of the time.
We did do that sometimes. But I'm talking about when we use pencil and paper.
Yeah, well,
erase the old you, yeah, move you over here, now you're OG. You put
right.
And there now that's where you are. On graph paper.
Yes.
Remember that? So
pads,
yeah,
and
but
pads
they
of graph paper.
Indeed. They emphasize the use of figures, which I think is a spectacular use for them, and it certainly helps gameplay, I feel. Let me give you a little flavor text from the back. For generations, the Tomb of Horrors has held an inescapable allure. It draws adventurers to it like a beacon, and then devours them utterly, like some monstrous predator. With its sepulchral Trap.
Sepulchral?
Sepulchral? Sepulchral. Sepulchral? Sepulchral? S-E-P-U-L-C-H-R-A-L.
I believe it's sepulchral.
Okay. Sepulchral. Trap-ridden halls and chambers lay the secrets and treasures of the Demi-Lich Asarek, and some say the Demi-Lich himself.
Heyo.
This will bring characters. This is a Paragon tier adventure, sir.
Okay.
Meaning this will
it's
take
not an easy adventure.
No. And this should certainly drive that home, sir. Characters from this adventure will take characters from 10th level to 22nd level.
Wow, that's okay, so.
And it has some natural breaks in it, so you could do other adventures.
I was going to say, let's right. talk about this a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Typically speaking, for those of you not in the know, when you have a one of these that spans such big levels,
right.
it's not meant to be done all at once.
Right.
This is you go a level 10, you leave at level 11,
right.
you come back at 14,
exactly.
that kind of deal. You come and go until you've cleared the entire dungeon. That's an awesome campaign. That's very cool.
Yeah, includes background materials, adventure hooks, new monsters, magic items, all sorts of things, and also includes, as we said earlier, the double-sided map depicting key encounter sites. So there it is from our friends at Wizards of the Coast. It's the Tomb of Horrors book. Going to run you $29.95. For information about this and other D&D products, go to D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
You know, our D&D update for this week is leading to a contest as well, I believe.
Oh, really?
This is an easy contest. Almost
okay.
anybody can win this one.
All right.
I want you to go over to the message boards.
The message boards over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Hosted by our friends over at October Toys and Toy Break.
Right.
I want you to find this week's episode, and I want you to post in there.
197, Tomb of Horrors. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Tomb of Horrors.
I want you to post in there your favorite D&D book, module, adventure, playable character, NPC, whatever. And we're going to pick 5 random winners from all the people.
Wow.
And we're going to send them a prize.
A D&D prize?
A D&D prize. That prize will include a minifigure
uh-huh.
and a shiny 12-sided, 20-sided die, right?
20-sided die. So and maybe something else?
And maybe a little something else. We'll see.
Wow. That we'll is see. Nice,
But
sir.
5 winners. And it's easy. Anybody can enter this contest.
Anyone can enter. There you go. So check out the forums over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. And do as OG says and win a prize.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we're getting back on the prize bandwagon,
nice.
Too. And with that, let's take our final break. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 197. Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Tomb of Horrors.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
I'm done. So many years ago, you can make me feel like it isn't so.
Hello, this is James Masters.
And you're what? Shocked and disappointed? I'm evil.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Help me out here, Spark. I don't speak loser.
The coolest stuff around.
And you can't tell the ones you love, you know they couldn't deal.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 197, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and the Tomb of Horrors, plural.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Despite what Daniel from Alabama had to say in his very visceral phone call, we do agree Ed Norton should be the Hulk and Bruce Banner.
That's right, Mr. Hat.
And much like Daniel, we encourage all of you to give us a call, leave us a voicemail. If you have anything you want to say, topic you want to talk about, something we talked about that you want to hear more about, 425-920-6050 is that phone number. Give us a shout, leave us a voicemail.
You could also do that over on the forums as
you
well.
You could. You could post something in the forums and we will address it.
Or you could drop an email to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
Or you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/geekstuffog. We'll get to me that way as well.
Nice.
All right. Moving forward with what we talked about, Joaquin Phoenix, he's the guy in the rumor mill. I don't believe it.
Also, he would be a terrible Bilbo.
He would be a terrible Bilbo. Speaking of Bilbo, Peter Jackson might be back in the running, and MGM might be saved by New Line, Warner, and who else?
Just New Line and Warner.
Warner.
Yep.
And so there's that. We also talked about The Guild, Season 4, Episode 1. New episodes of The Guild up each and every week on Tuesdays. Go to MSN Videos to check out those episodes. Talked a little about some casting for X-Men First Class. For two guys you don't really know, one guy you know if you've seen Kick-Ass, but we have a Cyclops, a Beast, and a Banshee now.
Yippee.
So X-Men First Class moving forward. And David Prowse, no longer welcome at Lucas-related Star Wars events.
Yep. Vader burns again.
There you go. Wow. That's rough.
Just saying.
Woo! Celebration is his Mustafar.
That's it.
In segment two
Return
of tonight.
To Mustafar.
Damn. In segment two of tonight's episode, we talked about a couple of DVDs that came out this week you might want to check out. Psych, the complete fourth season. White Collar, season one. The Superhero Squad Show, volume one. And In Bruges on Blu-ray.
In comics tonight, we recommended Green Hornet Year One from Dynamite, Batman 701 from DC, Daredevil 508 from Marvel with the pull cover from the 80s, and we're not recommending, but we're confused about what the Heroic Age Uncanny X-Men one-shot is. Is it meant to walk us into the new lineup? Or I'm confused about what this book is. There it is.
In product review tonight, we talked about Gentle Giants Uber Super Deluxe Limited Edition Stormtrooper figure.
Right, Imperial Stormtrooper Limited Edition.
Oh, statue, I guess.
Deluxe statue, right. One statue, many, many opportunities for customization.
We like that.
Oh, man, it's fucking beautiful. Gonna run you two bills, though. And finally, tonight in our D&D update of the week, we talked about the Tomb of Horrors, a classic old module from the Alduin days. Now updated, expanded into a full-out hardcover book. It's got everything in there you need to run it, play it, and make it jazzy and snappy for your characters. You can go 12 levels in this thing.
That's
so
epic, man.
Yep. Check it out over at dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
And I think that's about it. So don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at Big Kev's Geek Stuff. .com where you can check out all of our episodes. Studio V in the works, legitimately, seriously so.
Yes.
We have a date, I think, almost, and we have some product, and we will be doing that.
Yeah?
Yes.
Nice.
Also, don't forget, you'll be able to check us out over at Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Sirius 197 XM 202, every other Saturday night with our first show on July 17th, and then a special show the following week.
July 24th.
And then it'll be every other week from that point forward.
Midnight in the East, 9 p.m. in the West.
Right.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. Couple things to tell you about that. Those of you that listen to this show will be all a-Twitter about what I'm about to say if you haven't heard already. I interviewed Olivia Munn from G4's Attack of the Show.
Traitor.
And we will be playing I'm Not a Traitor, and you'll see how much of a traitor I am not this Saturday night, July the 17th, on Sirius XM. So, yeah. Well, so for those of you who know how I feel about Olivia Munn and G4 and Attack of the Show, we'll definitely want to tune in for that interview.
It's kind of cute.
Interview will only be appearing on the Sirius XM show.
That's right.
So what about that free hookup thing?
Right. So if you don't have SiriusXM, but you're thinking about trying it out, now is the perfect opportunity. I believe if you go to xmradio.com, you could sign up for a 3-day trial subscription, online listening only, and that will include our show on the nights that it airs.
Okay.
xmradio.com. Check on the for the trial subscription, 3 days, I believe it is.
Right.
And, you know, enjoy.
I'm hoping we'll be
live able to, phone calls.
I'm hoping we'll be able to sneak that Olivia Munn thing into this show down the line. Oh, and actually, we should say this is the last episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
As you know it?
Yes. Starting next week, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Episode 198.
Episode 198.
Chosen.
Yeah. We're just adding the podcast to the title.
That's the change.
Yeah, that's that change. Also, we are tentatively announcing tonight, August the 28th, which is a Saturday, I believe.
Right.
200th episode partay.
Right. Which will, timeline-wise, be much closer to like 203 or 4.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But
will it?
But party-wise.
Yes. Yeah. Party-wise, right. The celebration will occur.
The celebration will tentatively occur on that date.
And really, the celebration will be put off because I'll be at
celebration
I think, around the time of 200, or very close to that. So
there it is.
There it is.
Okay.
August the 28th, that is a tentative announcement. More details will come next week on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Episode 198.
Episode 198. To be named later.
Right.
Yeah. So that's all the information we have on that. So kind of pencil that in for August 28th, and hopefully we'll be able to ink the date, and then we'll pencil in possibly a location for next week so you can start making your travel plans to join us for this superstar party.
Extravaganza.
Right. And all six of us will have a great time. So.
All six of us will have a great time. No. I heard from one person who's definitely willing to come out if we can get it scheduled and held down.
Who?
A blast from the past.
Who?
Starman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
I know. Very exciting.
I thought you were going to say someone exciting. Like
he is exciting.
The Sluggy Freelance guy.
Oh, hey, I remember that guy. Wasn't he a friend of this show?
Yeah, wasn't he? And he just kind of fell off the face of the earth?
Yeah, what happened to that guy?
Yo, we're looking for you, Sluggy.
Pete, come on.
Pete.
Pick up the phone. You know our phone.
Where are you? You got an email?
Stop by the studio. What's the matter? Your kids are sick? Again?
Yeah, again? He's got like a plague ridden children.
Word.
Just saying.
All right.
Timony Brothers? Timony Brothers coming, maybe?
They might. I've been in close talks to the Timony Brothers to get them out.
We're going
to
get some
news and stuff to talk about. So.
We're going
to
get some peeps.
We are going to get some peeps.
So there it is.
All right. Can we go?
That dopey from the Dot cartoon.
I haven't spoken to Jamie, but he may be willing to come out.
He ain't coming.
He might.
Jim Lee going to come to
can't make that promise.
Possible. I'll invite him.
Yeah, okay.
So it'll be six of
us. I'll invite David Prowse. He won't be at Celebration.
And Lucas isn't sponsoring us.
That's what I'm saying. So. Can we go?
Good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.